podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening and welcome back to the Same Old Arsenal podcast. I promise you I'm trying to be happy. It's not easy. I'm sure none of us are. However, we're going to try and not make it a completely pure negative podcast. But welcome to everyone in the chat room. Thank you for joining us. My podcast brother from another mother is back. I haven't podded with you for a while, young Chris. How are you?
I've had better Sunday evenings. You can even see my cat in the background. He looks a bit depressed, Iago.
He's gone. He's enough.
He's like, I don't want to listen to football anymore. I've had enough.
None of us do. I have to say, though, I'm honestly really convinced that we were going to win. As soon as Fulham was over, I said to Carl, we're going to win. Now, weirdly, I wasn't at the West Ham game due to our dog not being very well. And I wasn't there today because I applied too late because I didn't even see the email. However, don't worry, everybody. I've now applied for all of the FA Cup round that we're now not going to be in. So it just leaves the Champions League. So I will be at every game. So the two games that I've missed have been absolutely terrible results. Although, possession-wise, football-wise, very different. So, Christopher, Chris was at the game. Yes, and Happy New Year to everybody because this is our first show back. Sorry, I'm all over the place because if I'm really honest, I didn't want to go live tonight. But because we promised and I haven't podded with Chris and...
We are people of our words.
Yes, and maybe it'll be cathartic, but at the moment, I'm absolutely fuming. But, and I have to say this, at the very beginning of the show, we do have to stand by our boys. We have to support them. But yet, we will talk about the game. Christopher, I will also like to point out, I didn't find our atmosphere, unless it didn't come through the TV, I thought it was quite poor. Now, you're in the main hub of the atmosphere. So what did you think of the atmosphere and the team lineup and take us through?
Well, I'll tell you what. I sit in block 5, row 11, and I've done that for 10 years. Yeah. So I pretty much know everyone. I know about 30 or 40 people around me, two rows in front, one row in front. There's a family that sit in front of me. There's a dad and his son behind me. So I've got a lot of people I know around me. I reckon I knew about 33% of people there tonight. Oh. I think there was a genuine thing around a lot of people not getting the tickets, not doing it in time like you did, right, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So it definitely impacted the atmosphere, I think. Where I was, you always get the chanting, there was the singing, so you can't always tell, but you can just tell from other pockets of the stadium. Team lineup wise, I was quite happy with it, to be honest with you. I thought Ramsdale coming in, he needs it, he needs game time, pleased with that. I did say this in my blog this morning. I thought Kivior starting. Like, I know he didn't have a great game, but this was a game where we might need to do a bit more defending than we were expecting to do against Fulham. So I thought Kivior, and, you know, in the absence in Zinchenko as well, that's a problem. And as soon as I heard that Gabriel Jesus was out, which rumours emanated this morning, I thought to myself, do you know what? I'll take a Kai Havertz up top, please, because I don't really want to see... Eddie Nketiah after his anonymous performance against Fulham. So broadly speaking, I was sort of okay with it. And if you look at what happened in that first half, it seemed like it was the right sort of move, didn't it? Because ultimately we dominated Liverpool. I looked at half time. They've had two shots to our 18 or to our 13.
Yeah, I mean, you cannot deny we dominated most of the game. But And I'll say this again, as my dad always says, if you don't take your chances, you don't win games. And it's just as simple as that.
Yeah, and we ain't doing either right now.
No, we're not. The last game we won was at the Emirates against Brighton, I think. If anyone wants to put me right, but I think that was the last one. I think we do have a major problem, but with the finishing side of it. And everyone is screaming for a striker. If you were listening to Gary Lineker, Martin Keown, can't remember the other bloke's name because my brain's all fuddled tonight, all saying the same thing, really. Need someone to put the ball in the back of the net. I was quite good. I was happy. I thought the team was okay. I was a bit surprised Eddie didn't play instead of Nilsson to start off. But what I did think was, what a wonderful to see Ramsdale back. I just had a little bit of smile when I, you know, I didn't expect him to play, if I'm honest. And I was really pleased to see him in the team. Made one magnificent save. People are blaming him for the first goal, but I'm not so sure, but we'll get into that. So the general atmosphere around you was different then. Is that what you're saying? Because
definitely.
And I think this is becoming a problem, I have to say. And I am massive. I'm always massive supporters of the Emirates atmosphere. Last year it was rocking every single game. This year has not been the same. And it could be because of the ballot and the way the tickets are done. I just don't know what the changes come. But it was quiet, Chris. I heard Liverpool fans on the telly. I didn't hear us. Now,
to be fair, sorry to interject, Amanda. To be fair, they get a quarter of the stadium as well. So they had 7,000 there. So they, and away fans are always loud. So when you get in a situation like that, you're always going to find that. But when you couple that with some of what's happened with the cup allocation stuff, I just think it's compounded. And it's sort of.
I agree. But whether they had 7,000 or 17,000, we still had 40-odd thousand people there that needed to get behind the boys. Twice I saw Odegaard go like that to the crowd, and Martinelli did it as well. And that shouldn't be happening. And this just reminds me, and I did tweet about this, of the Wenger days when we could all see desperately what we needed, yet it's not happening. However, the only good thing about this time of the year is the transfer windows open. I think everyone wants to go and get Ivan Toney or someone that can put the ball in the back of the net. I don't care who we get, Chris. If someone can put the ball in the back of the net, if someone can convert half our chances, we're going to win every game. The amount of chances, that little section where we hit the bar, hit the goal, hit everything, I looked at Carl and I went, we're not scoring today. And you know I believe in the rub of the green, the ball falling for you, a little bit of luck. We didn't have it and we haven't had it the last few games. So everybody in the chat room, please let us have your questions. We're going to put as many comments up. We're all feeling the same way. There's no doubt about this. I'm disappointed in a lot of ways. Talk to me about the first half, Chris.
Yeah, well, it was an interesting one because Reece Nelson was a bit of a surprise. As we said, Reece Nelson to me was a bit of a surprise, but within the first couple of minutes, he's in behind. And do you know what? This is going to be probably a roundly negative pod because of what the outcome and because we just lost three on the bounce. But I'm going to say it right now. I thought Ramsdale had a really good game. And within 2 minutes, he's pinged an absolute beauty in behind. Reece Nelson gets behind and he's a little bit unlucky. Then we have that period of dominance for the first sort of 10, 15 minutes. Liverpool get back into it. But I actually thought that first half, there was a lot to be impressed about. The only thing I wasn't impressed about is the confidence in this team has taken such a dent in the final third. And we have a big problem in the final third right now, as we've talked about. And I'm sure everyone's seen the stats on Twitter and et cetera, about, you know, 65 shots, attempts at goal in the last three games. And we've scored one. And that was a Saka, you know, sort of ball that deflected after a save from Leno. The amount of touches that are being made, like Kai Havertz in particular, it's like he's like a Goldilocks player. It's like everything needs to be just right. His body position needs to be just right. You know, he needs to be facing a certain way. The ball needs to sit up just right because he wanted two or three touches, a couple of the efforts tonight. And one of the ones where when we hit the bar, you know, the ball's ricocheting here, there and everywhere, but it comes out to Odegaard and he just gives it a larrup. And then the second time when we really tested Alisson was Ben White coming in and Alisson just kind of flipped the ball over. You know, these were those kind of pop shots that we're not taking at the moment because every player wants an extra touch. And to me, that is symptomatic of a team that is low on confidence and everything needs to be perfect because they're not sure. They're not willing to take a gamble. And to me, that's a big problem what we've got now because, like, you've got Saka swiveling the ball over in the second half. But, yeah, it's not working at the moment and I don't know how to solve it.
That I felt more safe with Ramsdale. I don't know if we're being unfair on Raya. I'm not really normally like unfair on players, but I felt safer. I felt like he gave a bit more energy. That ball to Nelson, that was, and he should have done better. There's so many times where I go, why didn't he pull it back? Why didn't he do this? And you're right about Havertz, and they kept saying that on the TV. He's taking Alan Shearer. Alan Shearer was so pro-Arsenal the first half. He was, you know, he was seeing all the domination. He was seeing all the fantastic football. And he kept saying the same thing. Why is he taking that extra touch? It was like he wanted us to score. I don't know who he dislikes more, us or Liverpool. But I thought he was a very fair pundit, if I'm honest. The other one, well, can't even talk about that. I felt with Ramsdale, it was lovely to see him back. And when he made that magnificent save in the second half, he had the biggest smile. You wouldn't have seen this, Chris, but they all went up to him. And I do wonder this situation with Arteta, has he caused this? Has it jolted the team in a way? I don't know. I thought Ben White played better at certain points today. I thought Ødegaard played okay. I really did. The problem we've got is, and I said this on the last pod when I was with James, when Ødegaard had a bad game last year, Martinelli was on fire. When Martinelli had a bad game, Saka was on fire. When Saka had and he never had a bad game, but when he had a quieter game, Ødegaard was on fire. The problem is now, no one's on fire. When he brought Martinelli on, I thought he was awful. Now, I think they're all awful at the moment. If I'm honest, I can't pick out anyone that would be my man of the match. But the problem you have as well is this left-back situation. You've got Tommy at the Asian Cup. You've got Jurrien Timber injured. You've got Zinchenko apparently injured. And you've got Kivior, who just doesn't look good at left-back, does he, Chris?
I didn't think, well, again, I'm watching it in stadium, so I don't get benefits of replays. And also, if you think where I am, it's lower tier, row 11, so you don't see as much of the game. I didn't think Kivior was that bad in the first half. He didn't have a lot to do. And in the second half, Liverpool weren't attacking on that left-hand side, so it wasn't Kivior that was the problem. I think Darwin Nunez got in a few times behind Ben White. I think Ben White, he half dealt with him, but I thought Kivior, that wasn't that bad. But then, of course, they don't show any replays in the ground. So I haven't actually seen the goal other than live. And I get told that it was an own goal off of Kivior. So I don't know if you can just explain to me how that happened. But it looked a little bit like Ramsdale flapped at it a little bit. But I don't know whether or not that's
it's a hard one, this, because he flicks it on into the goal. Ramsdale sort of come for it. I don't know if I'd blame him for it, if I'm honest.
Everything's going against us at the moment, isn't it?
This is why I keep saying, and I drive Cole mad with it, about the rub of the green. You know, that ball goes in off the post from Ødegaard. It's a different game. It is a totally different game. But we need that bit of luck. And I thought we got it at Fulham when Saka, like, bowled it over the line and it was a bit of a fluky goal and stuff. I thought that was it. You know, there we go. We're going to start off again. But we're not. And we're now out of the FA Cup. And someone's just asked a question, and I'm just going to ask it now. Sorry. There we go. Do you guys think finishing fourth would be a success for Arsenal? Rahul, welcome to the show, Rahul. And please, everyone, when you send us a question, tell us where you're from. We just love to know where you are in the world. I'll tell you what.
I'll answer that.
You answer, no. And I'll go next.
No, because I think we're the third best team in the league. I do think that. We are suffering at the moment. We are suffering from profligacy in front of goal. We are suffering from an element of fatigue. We are suffering from confidence being down. And we are suffering through injuries. But we are still the third best. I still believe we're the third best team in the league. So finishing fourth isn't a success. We've had lots of people come on here in the chat and during this season and last season and say, are we going to win the league? Well, I tell you now, we're not, because we're the third best team in the league, because we don't have the strike force options that City and Liverpool have. And that's one of our big problems, because we're all talking about, oh, Saka's suffering at the moment, or, maybe he's carrying a knock, but we're playing him every week because Arteta doesn't trust the other options in behind. This is Reece Nelson's first start in God knows how long. You've got Trossard, who doesn't seem to be trusted, and he hasn't played well in those wide positions. We made the mistake last summer in not prioritising more depth in our attack. And we went for Kai Havertz instead. And do you know what? I'm not going to bag on Kai Havertz because I thought he's coming in as the left eight and as a player who's versatile. So if we need him to, he can play up top. But largely speaking, he's coming in as the left eight. Maybe that's worth it. Maybe that's worth a punt, like in, as a Xhaka replacement. But £65 million felt steep for a player that hadn't succeeded. He's done well of late. I didn't think he was amazing tonight. He had a couple of nice bits, but it wasn't amazing. And in my opinion, that money could have been better spent. I was listening to the Latte Firm show as I was driving back, and they were talking about David Raya costing 30 million. Let's just set the record straight. David Raya hasn't cost us anything yet from an FFP perspective. We pay that money in the summer when we trigger the clause. He's on loan at the moment.
Yeah.
So people saying we've spent 100 and whatever million quid on Raya and Havertz, I get the Havertz thing. But we haven't spent 100 million. We've spent about 60. Well, we spent 65 million on Havertz. There's questions to be asked there, but you can't lump the Raya money in with that.
Right. So, what I was going to say is what Canterbury Gooners said: finishing fourth is not success, but okay if you're winning other trophies as well. If we win the Champions League, I'll take fourth.
That's never happening.
Yeah, but we won't ask that question. And that's what I'm saying about what Canterbury Gooner. I was just about to say, that's what I was going to say it.
All right, I'm going to ask you that question. Are we going to win the Champions League?
I don't know, Chris, because football's a funny game. Football's a funny game, okay? I'm not sitting here saying tonight that we're going to win the Champions League, but I always like to put a spin on things. I've been watching football, what, since the mid-70s. I've seen the dross. I've seen the great. I've seen us go to Anfield in 89 and no one give us a hope. So I can't sit here and say, yes, we will, no, we won't. I'm not like one of those, just be positive for the sake of it. I don't feel very positive tonight at all. I'm trying to get myself up to try and think, where's a goal going to come from? And I just want to address something that I've starred, because I want to explain what I mean by this. Here we go. So Tucky said, rub of the green, Liverpool hit the bar twice. You make your own luck. They hit the bar in the league game. What I mean by that is, if you look at how many shots we've had, and someone said, I think it's 71 shots in the last three games.
65, I think, was a stat that's doing around on Twitter.
But even if it was 50 for three games, all right, it's a minimum of 50 shots. And not one of those, apart from the Fulham goal, has gone in. That's what I mean by rubber the green. I am not talking about two chances here that we've been completely dominated. We've had two shots and haven't gone in. That's not what I mean by rubber the green. I mean just sometimes the ball needed to be an inch lower for Ødegaard on the bar. So that's what I'm talking about, Tucky. I'm not giving any excuses here, but all through life of watching Arsenal since the 70s and watching all football, I don't just watch Arsenal, trust me, I watch loads of football. You see it. You see it at United when one of them goes down and they get a penalty. We just don't. The Invincibles run when Wayne Rooney dived, and that's all you can say he did do, to end that run. A little bit of luck that day and it wouldn't have ended. So that's all I mean by that, Tucky. I'm not giving him excuses, but when you've got 50, 60, possibly 70 shots and not one, bar one has gone in, say 69 shots or whatever it is, and only one's gone in, that's what I mean by that. Yeah. So thank you for your comment. I appreciate
it. Just add to that, Amanda, if you think about it, Aston Villa basically scored with their first shot and then sat back and defended the whole time. West Ham pretty much scored with their only two chances and sat back and defended. Now, I agree. We have to do better. There was still time in both of those games for us to score, and that is on us. But it just feels we're getting maximum punishment for the minimum sort of that teams are coming up against us, particularly in those games. And with Fulham, even with the Fulham one, the goal that Fulham scored, you know, it was Keystone Kops defending from Arsenal, but it ricochets off about four players and just falls straight to Reed, who's right in front of goal with Raya in front of it. So it just feels like we're getting maximum punishment. And even today, you know, Liverpool had a couple of chances, but so we had a couple of chances. It was basically, to me, a 0-0, a 1-1 type game that, once again, we can't finish our dinner. And in return, Liverpool get, you know, that flick off of Kivior's head and suddenly the game's basically over at that point. And I wonder if you could tell this on TV, Amanda, but it felt to me in the stadium that as soon as that goal went in, The first few passes that we made, it was sideways, it was slow. It was like the lads, the heads had just gone down. What do you think?
We just can't cope when we go 1-0 down. I was dreading it. I was dreading going 1-0 down. But as the game progressed, I said to Cole, the next goal's going to win it. It's just, that's going to happen. It was 0-0. I mean, the frustrating thing is, Chris, we played some really lovely football. We did against West Ham. Not so much against Fulham, but we did against West Ham. And what I say about rubber the green, and Tucky said again, and I appreciate your comments, it's not rubber the green. It's not like it's bad finishing. I'd get that if it was 5, 10, even 15 chances. We've had 50, 60 shots. I mean, just one, for God's sake. I felt like praying and saying, just one, just something, go for us. Well, you know,
can I just jump in just quickly? Mark Backryden has just said in the chat, Arteta's training schedule for Dubai. Number one, work on finishing. Number two, work on taking corners. The first corner that Gabriel Martinelli took today, which just didn't even, it was almost like watching an under-11s game where the wind's coming in and there's some poor lad who's booting the ball as hard as he can, but he's only about 4 foot tall and he can't get it even as close as the near post. It was that weak. But yeah, work on taking corners. Three, work on finishing. Four, work on taking corners and repeat every single day. Mark, top message. Absolutely spot on, mate. Sorry, Amanda, go on.
That's okay. That's fine. I think what we'll do, Chris, we'll just go to questions and things because, Chris, sorry, I don't want to call you Mark, because I think we all know the game. We all know how it went. But let's
can I ask you one before we get into other people's questions. Now, I am, of course, I suffer from being in the stadium. You suffer from, obviously, you get caught up in the emotion and you don't get replays and stuff like that. You don't always hear kind of the more neutral perspective. It felt to me like there was a 60-40, not big decisions, but every little niggly decision, 60-40 in favour of Liverpool tonight, as the away team, which really surprised me because normally as the home team, you normally get 60-40. But certainly the fans were crying about that. We were all up in arms about that. Do you think that was true? Do you think Liverpool got a bit more rubber the green or not really?
Not really. There was a couple of decisions that I thought were fouls and I shouted, but it was only two. But what my Liverpool friends were tweeting me was, how the hell did Harvey Elliott get booked and Ødegaard didn't? So each fan sees it so through their own rose-tinted glasses. I said probably because Harvey Elliott swore at the referee and Ødegaard didn't swear. And they laughed at me. And I said, well, because they all tweeted it straight away and said, Elliott gets done, but Ødegaard didn't. So there's no way I've walked away from that, thought the ref was outrageous. I didn't. And I'd be the first to say it. It was nice that there was no VAR because you don't even need to discuss it.
I thought there was VAR today.
No, I don't think that. Well, I don't know, but there was.
There is VAR for grounds that actually have the capabilities for it. So it's just that there was literally no contentious decision. No,
there wasn't anything. There was one handball that was on opposite, on the east end side, where Trent,
Trent handballed it.
It definitely was a handball, but you can't blame the ref because Trent's back to him. But where was the assistant linesman? But those things are going to happen in football. I'd rather have that than no VAR, to be honest. But no, there was nothing. I didn't look at the ref, Chris, and think, bloody hell, he's so Liverpool. I heard the Arsenal fans sing Who's the Scouser in the Black? I did hear that. So I thought, oh, maybe they're seeing something. But remember, you watch it at home, you get replay after replay and commentary and stuff. And I do feel that Alan Shearer was very fair with us. What was happening was the people on Twitter were going mad at Shearer for being very pro-Arsenal. And I was laughing. I said, he's never pro-Arsenal. However, I haven't seen the comments. It would be nice to see if people did think the ref. Is anything? I haven't looked. Sorry. Agree. Tucky said, agree, Amanda. Ref was totally okay. There was VAR. Sorry. Maybe because we just didn't see it.
Can I ask you a question? Let's get into the questions in a second. I just want to ask you one more.
Yeah, sure.
I've seen and heard a lot of people talking about Arteta out.
Yeah.
I'm a bit confused by this because
you have to understand, Chris. Right.
At the moment.
You have
We've
to understand.
Three in a row.
Unfortunately, Christopher, the people that want Arteta out from day one will never change their minds, because they've got this like ego that they could never turn around and go, actually, I was wrong. Okay. Actually, I was wrong. I never wanted Emery out. And at the very end, I had to admit I was wrong. He wasn't right for the job. And I just said, yeah, I remember slating Monreal and then he turned into a good defender. So, but a lot of people can't do that. So the minute anything goes wrong, they don't like a sub, they don't, a goal scored. It's this constant Spanish something they call him, don't they? But I think at the moment it is anything, Chris, that they can jump on. I'm sorry, but if you are in our chat room, and I'm going to say this, you can't be a serious football fan if tonight your first words are Arteta out. We have to, what do you do? Just a bad run of a few games and then you want the manager out. You lot didn't want Wenger out for years on end. There was loads of people that didn't want him out. But look, I'm angry. I feel that giving 3 minutes to ESR is disgraceful. Yeah, I was annoyed with Arteta. I'm not sitting here because I am probably one of his number one fans, like you are, Chris. But I am here as an Arsenal fan to critique the game. Yeah. I don't know what Arteta was doing.
Well, first question of night actually relates, it's a good segue into this. Carl has asked, Carl, you're not putting in the chat this evening whether we're going to win the league, are you, eh? Come at me, yeah? Constantly caught me for sitting on the fence. Is the result today on the players and the manager? Now, seriously, that's actually a very good question, because I think, me personally, I think they both have to take a little bit of the blame. Because I think, as you said, I don't think his subs were great. I think Martinelli, for the first few minutes, looked like he was on it. Yeah. And he beat his man a couple of times. And then he just seemed to stop. And it's like confidence drained from him or something. So I don't think Arteta got the substitutions right tonight. And it's on him. It's incumbent on him to fix this problem. And the problem is, how are we going to get these players better in front of goal?
You know, it is down to him, Chris. And his results will prove whether he gets a new contract towards the end of May, because I think his contract's up next season. I support him. I think what he's trying to do, I think we've just had a few bad games. And actually, in a weird way, we haven't had a few bad football games. We just can't put the ball in the back of the net. Now, you don't win games, obviously, and I do realise and appreciate that. But actual football's been okay. And I'm not sure what Arteta has come out and said tonight, because he didn't. I haven't seen any interview from him. It would be really interesting, because we've got so many comments here.
Do you want me to? I've got
you. Have a look.
Yeah,
and I'm going to answer David Ziegler's question. David, welcome to the show. Now, I know David's from the States, so thank you for watching. Did we lose it or did they win it? I think they won it, if I'm honest. They took their chances.
It was a smash and grab, wasn't it? They basically, they took their chances. We had more chances than them. I think we edged the first half. It was a bit more even in the second half. They had to ride out a storm. But the difference between the two teams is what happens at the top end of the pitch. I think I might end up in cold sweats tonight with that chance in the back post that Martinelli crossed it. And then Saka has just ballooned it over. Yeah. I mean, Saka last season is levering that into the goal. So we've got a lot of challenges in the final third at the moment, and the problem is that we haven't got the bodies that can come in where we say, like, if we started, there's not a player at the moment that starts ahead of Saka, Martinelli, or Jesus that we go, oh, okay, yeah, no, I'm happy with that. That's a like for like. It just doesn't happen. Just a few quotes from Arteta on the game. I haven't seen a team in the past 6 months that has generated what we have done against them. We haven't capitalised. When my team plays with that courage and attitude against probably the best team in Europe right now, what I can do is stick by them. On Arteta, fans demanding a signing up front. What I beg from the supporters is that they are behind this team. Stick behind the team. They are incredibly good. They deserve the support with their attitude. Arteta on how frustrating. Yes, it's frustrating, but what can I do? I can't tell them play bad, don't shoot and score an own goal. Arteta on Jesus. He had some pain on the knee. We've done a scan that shows something. Hopefully it's not something big. Arteta on potential business. And this is the final one. Then I'll come back to you. Arteta on potential business. One thing is what we need, and another is what we can do. What we can do is stick behind those players and make sure we stick behind those players.
And that's really important. Okay, another question from Wookie Cookie. Welcome to the show.
He's not James's cousin or brother, is he?
I think if James was on here tonight, after I've seen his tweets, he's absolutely fuming. It's probably best he's not on. Would you prefer Palace going to be next week so we can get this out of our system, or is it better we have another week until we play a game? I'm from Watford, used to live in Crouch End. Hello, Watford.
Lovely. I'm just around the corner from there.
No. I don't want to watch Arsenal next weekend. I need the break. Absolutely don't want it. If we won today, then yes, we'd want it as quick as possible to get the momentum going. No one would want a break because of obviously West Ham and Fulham. But no, what about you, Chris?
Absolutely not. And I don't think it would help us either. This extra week, we need it because we need to have the players rejuvenated. We need a reset, but also we need to see some returns. Like I want to, on that first Arteta press conference on not next Friday, but the Friday after, what I want to hear is Thomas Partey has been in training in Dubai and hopefully within the next couple of weeks, he'll be in the first team. Zinchenko is absolutely fine. He's been training with us. Mm-hmm. Gabriel Jesus is absolutely fine. He's been training with us. That's what I want to hear. Oh, and we've managed to get a bit of rest into a few of the legs and the likes of Ben White, Saka, et cetera, et cetera. We are ready to go. That's what I want to hear.
Yeah.
Who's that? Newman. Are you all right, Newman?
No, he's never liked Arteta, to be fair to him. And that's why I
need to go around to his house and give him a cuddle.
We're a show that will always put up everyone's comments. But Newman has been on many chat rooms that I've been in, and I know how he feels. And he's totally entitled to his opinion. I disagree, and that's fine. But thank you for your comment, Newman. Tucky again. How many strikers has he purchased? In 4.5 years, he signed Jesus, and he's not a proper striker. That was a question from Tucky. Let me leave that up there a second.
Well, that is going to be his litmus test, isn't it? His litmus test is in the attacking third, because even now this window we're hearing stories that we're rumoured with a left back, and I'm like, what are we going to do in 6 months' time when we've got 7 left backs, but we're still saying that Eddie Nketiah is the backup to Gabriel Jesus, who can only stay fit for a third of the season? He's got to do something, and he's got to do something quick.
Yep. And Karen Russell. Do you think whilst away in Dubai, Arteta will change the style of play back to what it was last season? I said this to Carl over dinner. Oh, hello. Is that Gunnar on your shoulders?
That is Iago, who is just trying to distract me. This is the right thing to do. Distract me after such a horrible game. Do you think whilst away...
Sorry, I did say this, Chris. I said to Carl, why can't we just go back to last year? How we were playing was just beautiful. And at this time of the, at this stage, we were top and we were flying.
But the thing is, I think he got PTSD from the last 2 months after we lost Saliba.
But
I think he's just, and also teams are playing differently against us now. We're getting doubled up on, they're sitting in a lower block. We weren't getting that last season. So it's a little bit differently.
No, it's true. Look, even Barry said, the cat has had enough.
He's had enough. He's
Carl
done.
Stark wants Mbappe in the summer.
Link to that. Next question, John Rowe. Where do you think we need to buy in January? Striker, fullback, midfield? All of the above?
Yeah. I mean, if he went and bought a striker in January, I think I'd cry. I think I'd just be like, you know, is it really, really interesting? Obviously, I listened to Ivan Toney on Diary of a CEO podcast about 6 months ago, 5 months ago. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know much about him. Obviously, I knew he'd been banned. And I was really interested in listening to him. He really likes Arsenal. And this is before anyone sort of mentioned him. And I was thinking, do you know what? I wonder if Arsenal would even buy him next year, because obviously he's coming back in January. Is he back now? Can he play now?
I think it's towards the end of January, right? He'll be available.
And I was thinking to myself, it'd be good for Arsenal, and then never really thought nothing of it, and then everyone started mentioning him. It's only because I listened to the podcast and I quite liked his attitude and what he spoke about Arsenal. He does like Liverpool as well. But
the problem I have with Ivan Toney is that he's a target man, it'll give us something different, but the problems we're having is that the players that are getting the ball in the wide positions are missing gilt-edged chances. So, like, take that Saka chance from tonight, Ivan Toney's not going to be in that position, is he? He's going to be more central. So that's, we need those players to pick up their form. That's the big problem that we've got. We're creating chances. We're not finishing yet. Yeah, it'd be good. The challenge we've got with Ivan Toney as well, he's been out for 9 months. He's been training. This is the equivalent of this us saying that we should sign a player who's only just back in training from an ACL injury. Because
so Jan the 16th, he can play, Barry said. Okay.
Yeah, but he's only been doing match. He's only been doing training. He's not match. He won't be match fit. For a striker as well to get his touch, it might take him 6 weeks.
He's been training since September, by the way.
Yeah, but
he mentioned that on the podcast. He said, I'm allowed back training from September.
But it's it's still not match sharpness, is it? That's my issue, and I'm just not sure on Ivan Toney. I just don't think he's going to be the panacea that everyone seems to think. But and it's because he's been out for so long. But anyway, got any more questions? Should we go for that?
Andy B is interesting. Amanda, without Xhaka and a Xhaka style type, and us being less predictable and functional on the left side, we can't go back towards what we had last season. The manager panicked tactically.
What? Because Xhaka went. That's an interesting perspective. I think he's tried to just. I think what's happened is, as I said, I think he got PTSD from the end of last season. So what he wants is to build a more sturdy defence, and he doesn't want to rely on the Rob Holdings that we had last season. So we've built a stronger defence. I think the introduction of Declan Rice sitting in front of the back four has helped that as well. So defensively, we're more assured, although it doesn't feel like that of late. And I think we've suffered with the likes of Thomas Partey being out, because Thomas Partey is a line pass breaking midfielder. And what we've ended up having is we haven't had that guy for the best part of half a season. Mm. So we do need to prioritise that, certainly in the summer. The hope is that Partey can get back soon, for me. And then I think we need to be able to have a versatile forward player that can play. In fact, if we had another Gabriel Jesus type player, I'd be all right with that, because they can play centre forward, wide left, wide right. And that way you can bring Saka out if he's got a knock. You can bring Martinelli out. You can stick this guy up top. We need to find something like that.
Interesting. Everyone's saying he scored a hat trick behind closed doors. Look, it's a bit of a different game to a Premier League game, but who knows? I don't think we'll see Partey again. I think he'll be off this month, if I'm honest. Right. Tucky, another question. Welcome to the show, Tucky. Tell us where you're from. Okay, Amanda and Chris, at what point should he question, in your opinion, at what point is that acceptable?
I think this season we need to finish in the Champions League spots. And if he gets that, I think we just address in the summer where the season's gone well, where it's gone wrong, what's been successful and what hasn't. At the moment, we're sitting fourth, but a couple of wins against Palace, Forest, and if we can beat Liverpool, I know everyone will probably laugh at that, given we've just faced a beating of Liverpool, and they will have Robertson back, and they will have Van Dijk back, and they will have Szoboszlai probably back, and they'll have a better team than they had tonight, but hopefully so will we. Zinchenko, Gabriel Jesus. I'm hopeful. I think I've got a sneaky feeling that they might be looking at that Liverpool game as a potential one that Partey can start back up in. So I think the next couple of weeks will be interesting.
Going back to the striker situation, could we not take one on loan until July? Until the end of the season.
You and Karen are obviously thinking alike. Because that's exactly what she just said. The problem with the loan deal is that who's going to loan players? If you're either loaning players with a view to buying them because of financial fair play. So it's effectively saying to a team, we're going to buy this guy, but you'll have to wait until the summer.
So can't we loan Ivan Toney?
Why would Brentford do that unless Arsenal committed to buying him for like some ridiculous fee?
We'll give Raya back and we'll take Ivan Toney.
Yeah, if you remember as well, I think you can't loan the same player. You can't loan the same players from the same club or something like that. The other part of that is that Brentford have just lost a couple of their strikers and they're down there fighting. So I suspect that they need every goal scorer they possibly can. So that's why I think there's no way, unless Arsenal came in and said, we'll give you 120 million for him, which would be stupid to do. I just can't see it.
We've got a Scouser in here and he makes a point. I support Liverpool, but I think Arteta needs to switch to two strikers. Jesus needs a partner. He's not good as a number nine. Welcome, Rob. Thank you for coming on and thank you for not taking the mickey out of us. And well done on your win. What do you think on that? I mean, obviously, the fact that he played for City and Liverpool have that rivalry with City, they probably know quite a bit more about Jesus than we did before he joined us, because we didn't take much notice, I wouldn't have thought.
I think it would be interesting to see if we're putting Havertz up top and Gabriel Jesus wide. That might be interesting, because then you've got that foil. But Arteta's not going to play two up front, because it will change his system. And I just don't see him doing it. So it's almost a mute point, really.
Right. And Cole said you can't loan more than one player from the same club. Well, that's out then.
Yeah.
We've got to buy him.
Yeah. Should we do one more question?
Yes, go on. You can put whatever one up.
Would fans be willing to take top three if it's a big if we spend? Hold on. Barry Byrne, would fans be willing to take top three if, and it's a big if, we spend well in the summer, or risk buying now and try to compete for this season? What would you do, Amanda?
I'd buy now, but I'm impatient. And I'm not tactical. I go from the heart and the emotions, and I can see the amount of chances we're making, that if someone just could put half of them, a quarter of them away, we're going to win every game. Mm. We're not actually playing badly. And actually talking about it for the last 40 minutes has actually helped. I'm much more calmer. I do find it. I didn't want to, Chris. I was going to say, I'm not coming on. If you and James would have been on, I would have bowed out, because I've had enough. But it's actually gone quite well, as in how I feel now, because I think, okay, you know, we're not playing badly. Go out and grab someone that can put the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah. I think I'm similar, but only with a caveat on depends on price. And the reason I say that is because the reason why we're all having this conversation about FFP and, oh, we can't go out and buy everyone, is because we went out and spent £100 million on Declan Rice, which is the right move. Yeah. But then we spent £65 million on Kai Havertz.
Yeah.
So imagine if we go and do another Kai Havertz type deal and spend £75-80 million this window. And then in the summer we say, oh, well, FFP, we can't do anything now because we did it in January. We're back to square one. So I hope that there's some kind of a loan deal that we can try before you buy. Like, imagine if somewhere out there there's another Ødegaard type move that Arsenal could do, but in a forward position or in another area of the pitch where we need strengthening. That would be my utopia at the moment. I would keep the powder dry unless something amazing comes up, because I just think that we're going to have to. The problem we've had this season is that we've had some of these injuries, like the Timber ACL and Partey injury. It just feels like from very early on, it was always going to be a tough one for us to properly compete for the title.
Yeah. And Daniel Jesse said, on the flip side, if we spend millions on a strike and they don't deliver, what happens then? Well, you can say he tried. You know, Arteta tried to get someone in and it didn't work. I don't know. Anything else you want to put on?
No, we'll do one more question and then we'll go and cry into our pillows like everyone else for the rest of the evening. Andy Love, thanks for joining us, Andy. We should probably mention our lovely sponsor, Ruth. And we've got a nice picture of some great stuff that she's got.
This will cheer you up, Gooners.
Why don't we do that now and then we'll do Andy's question?
Yeah, let's do it now. This will cheer you up. RuthBeckArt.com is selling a lot of... I'll wait for Chris to put the picture up.
Oh, I thought you were doing it. Okay, I'll do it. I'll do that.
Look at all these lovely North London Forever Is Yours gold pins. A lot of... Profits. Some profits will go to the Ben Kinsella Trust. So please go and check her out. She's our wonderful sponsor. RuthBeckArt.com does the most amazing artwork. And gifts and presents and things like that. So big shout out for Ruth. Right, where were
Nelson in front of Martinelli? Nelson in front of Martinelli, yay or nay?
At the moment, I'd say yes. But it's a tight yes.
Yeah, I think Nelson started well, but then faded for me. So I'd still stick with Nelly.
I honestly think that Martinelli's not having a good time of it at the moment, Chris. Mm. So I don't think Nelson did much wrong, to be honest. And the one question I would have for Arteta is, why are you giving ESR 3.5 minutes? Mm. It wasn't even, 4 minutes extra time, but 6 minutes to affect the game when you're 1-0 down. AT, why not bring him on? Yeah. Why not go for it? It's not like the Premier League. You're out the cup. You know, you're out the FA Cup. The FA Cup that I absolutely love. And I want to bring Arteta to task on one thing. When he's tried to divert it by saying the best team in Europe, they're not even that good. I'm sorry, they're not. And today, it's because they're a little bit of a bogey side for us. And I will bring him to task on that. And I know he's protecting his players and they must be on the floor at the moment. So there is a part of me that wants to end this podcast on a positive note. I have to be honest, I don't even know where we are in the league. I think we're third. We're fourth. Okay. Not the end of the world. By the time we come back, it's mid-January. Let's hope the Dubai sun has helped them. And they find their scoring boots, because we are producing chance after chance after chance.
Yeah. Hear, hear, Amanda. Hear, hear.
So, Chris and I would like to thank all of you for joining us. And there's been quite a few of you, new ones as well. So what we'd like you to do is, on the way out, would you mind please pressing like, leaving us a comment? And if you're on audio, I say this every week, it really would help to get the algorithm going, like I know what I'm even talking about. If you could rate us and follow us on whatever audio platform you're listening on, we do appreciate you. We are going to wish you a happy new year. Unfortunately, it's not the happy Guna New Year that we were looking forward to, is it? But JJ's late to the party, isn't he?
Indeed.
Have you got any more comments, Chris, to say goodbye before?
Nothing from me. Phil Macca. Sorry, Phil. We're off now. Look.
Yes, were you going to watch another podcast, away. Young let's, Phil?
Let's all get some time away and let's be back on it for Palace. And absolutely. I want the anger, rage, frustration all taken out on those Eagles.
And just to mention Palace, we've got a preview show that we've got a couple of quite interesting Palace fans coming on. So if you follow us and if you press that little bell on the YouTube, you will get notified when shows come up. So we appreciate all our followers. Happy New Year. Here's to scoring goals. And from Chris and I, always Arsenal. Good night, everyone. Sports Social Podcast Network.